Well, we bless the Lord and we thank Him for His pure word. Have you guys been learning anything about the fear factor? Anybody? Huh? So, let's just tune in to the Lord and let's pray real quick. Lord, we bless you and we thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us, guides us, helps us, strengthens us, protects us. Lord, may your word be ingrained in our very core of our beings, Lord. And we look to you because you are the giver of life. In Jesus' name. At the top of 13, you will see the fear of man will cause you to. Last week we ended up with the fear of the unexpected and what that causes you to do. Remember, the whole premise of this teaching is why did Jesus in Revelation 21, when he began to say, but the fearful and the unbelieving, then he went on to the abominable and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters, they'll all have their place in the lake of fire. But I thought it was very, very unique that the fearful and the unbelieving were the first class, the first identified types of people, the fearful and unbelieving. So we've been studying on what does fear make you do? What is fear? And so we're coming to the end of this. And the fear of man. Anybody ever felt intimidated?
Definitely.
The fear of man will cause you to think you're being judged. If you have an insecurity in that area, and you'll have a very rough time around people that are very secure. The fear of man will cause you to compromise your integrity. The fear of man will cause you to think you're being plotted against. They got it in for me. I just know they got it in for me. The fear of man will cause you to think you're being plotted against. Everyone is against you. The fear of man will cause you to stay silent when God desires to use you. Now, this whole teaching is designed for Christians. We're not talking about those that are out in the world. To stay silent when God desires to use you. What if they don't accept what I say? Or what if I sound funny? Or what if somebody makes fun of me? To stay silent when God desires to use you. I had that happen to me. When I was in school, high school, and the Lord was probably putting me out, seeing where I'm at. And in my shop class, there was a young man who had his arm stubbed right to here. And the Lord said to me, go talk to him and I'll heal him. And now, I didn't know anything. And so my first thought was, me? Heal him? I can't do that. That isn't what the Lord said, was it? I had that fear. I was intimidated, and I didn't talk to him. The Lord said, talk to him. I'll heal him. He didn't tell me to heal him. And so after the shop class was over, my inner man was grieved. I said, man, I really blew it. And I remember I went home, and all day long I was dwelling on that. And I remember I was burning the garbage in the backyard, and I was saying, Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry, Lord. I allowed myself to be intimidated to the max. My mind, everything was intimidating me. And I remember I was burning the garbage, and a piece of paper fell out of the barrel that I was using. And I reached down and I was picking it up. And when I came up, and right in front of my face was an aerosol can in the fire. And it was on fire. And I froze. And I watched, and the cap just blew off. And it just went psst. It should have been on fire, spraying me in the face. And right then and there, I knew the Lord said, I forgive you. And so I made a promise to myself and to the Lord that I won't be intimidated again. So that is when my faith took a leap and I became crazy in my faith. 17. I'd been saved a year. The fear of man, fear, intimidation, will cause you to be ashamed of who you are in Christ. You see, there is a thought in some Christian circles that Christianity is a private thing between you and God. I've talked to many people, and I've talked to them about sharing with others and witnessing, and they come back with, well, my religion, what I feel, my relationship is personal, just between me and God. Well, that's not what the Lord called us to do, is it? He called us to share the good news, the gospel. When you accept Christ, there is no private thing. You make a public statement when you go forward. Then you make a public statement when you are baptized. There's no private thing that goes on. You are sent to be a light. You're the light of the world. A candle, Jesus says in Matthew 5, you don't put a basket over it. He says, but let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So the fear of man will cause you to shrink back, to be ashamed, to stay silent, to shut your mouth, will cause you intimidation, to back off. But let's look at what God's pure word says. Matthew 10:26. Fear not them, therefore. Right there and right in your face. Don't fear them, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that you speak in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. Fear not them that which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for you are more valuable than any sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before him, before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, if I would have printed this the way it's in my Bible, it would have been in red, the red letter edition. Jesus' words. Look at Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You're not safe by pulling back. You just become Satan bait. If you allow fear to motivate you, who's behind it? Who is it that doesn't want you to succeed? Who is it that really is intimidating? Isaiah 51, beginning at verse 12. I am he that comforts you. Who are you? Who art thou that thou should be afraid of a man that shall die? And the son of man which shall be made as grass, and forgets the Lord thy maker that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually day and night because of the fury of the oppressors, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressors? Who are you that you're not listening to me? I stretch the heavens. I'm in your corner. You and God are a majority. Get that in your inner person. You and God are always a majority. You have guaranteed success when God is in your corner. Wouldn't you think so? The captive, verse 14, the captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divides the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee with the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. So he's talking to Isaiah. Isaiah, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what I want you to say. Who is a man to me? God. I mean, not me personally. God. Nothing. He's just somebody that's going to wither like the grass. Joshua 1:5. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Well, that was written, you know, God spoke to Joshua. That was for Joshua, was it? Why is it in the Bible? It's the living word. God's word transcends time. Understand. Things that have been spoken 5,000 years ago, the word of God, because it was spoken, it's relevant. And it applies to you. Otherwise, we just might as well throw our Bible away. But But everything that is written in there is for you. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Romans 8:31. This is from the International Standard Version. What then shall we say about all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? I would also put a slash there. What? Who or what can be against us? If God is for us. Is God the creator of the heavens and the earth? Is God the creator of everything that is in existence? Yeah. Everything is under his domain, under his control, in all, in the end of all things. So what do we have to be worried about? If God is for us, who can be against us? The one who did not spare his own son, but offered him as a sacrifice for all of us, surely will give us all things along with his son, won't he? Who will accuse God's elect? It is God who justifies. You are, that's talking about you. You are God's elect. So who, if you're walking in God's good graces, who can accuse you of anything? God's justified you. Who is the one to condemn? It is the Messiah, Jesus, who is interceding on our behalf. He died, and more importantly, has been raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God. Who will separate us from the Messiah's love? Can trouble, distress, persecution, hunger, nakedness, danger, or a violent death do this? As it is written, for your sakes we are being put to death all the day long. We are thought of as sheep headed for slaughter. But in all these things, we are triumphantly victorious due to the one who loved us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Triumphantly victorious. Look at Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 11. But the Lord is with me like a fearsome warrior. Whoa. Therefore, those who pursue me will stumble and will not or won't prevail. They'll be put to great shame when they don't succeed. Their everlasting disgrace won't be forgotten. God is in your corner. Amanda, when you've made your stand and everything that people were saying about you and against you, God heard it. Remember the story when Aaron and Miriam came up to Moses. Moses, you take too much about on yourself. And they were upset with Moses about the woman that he had married. But in that, if somebody wants to find that, that's in Numbers. I think it's around 14. Because there's something very, very, very important in it. It says, and the Lord heard what they said.
It's in Numbers.
I think it's around 14. And the Lord heard what they said. And in the story, Miriam ended up, the Lord put leprosy on her. Moses interceded for her and healed her, but she had to remain outside of the camp for, according to their rules, for at least 7 days. But the thing of it was, the Lord heard it. And then the Lord confronted them and says, why? You know, I speak through dreams and visions to the prophetic Miriam. I've spoken to you. But I speak to Moses face to face like a friend. How is it that you weren't, how would I say, you didn't restrain yourself from talking to him like you did? Whoa. We need to find that and read that. Because God utterly was standing up. You see, Moses, when that happened, Moses didn't defend himself. They just hammered him. But it says God heard it. And he came on the scene. I'm going to pause. When they dared to criticize Moses, that was, God took that as serious. And don't think for one moment that you're not as important. Doesn't our Bible say that God is not a respecter of persons? Everything that is said to you or about you, God hears it. But our prerogative, what's important for us, is to know that we have that standing. We sing that song, I am a friend of God. Do you really, really believe it? Are you willing to stake your life on that? Or are they just words? God takes you. He said, you're more important. You're more valuable than a sparrow. Understand how valuable you are. I have a seminar that I teach. It's titled, maybe we should go through it. Being in it for the long haul, what does it take? And it's about destiny. But we get to an area where, in order to make it in this long haul, you have to understand how God feels about you. You have to. You have to understand how God feels about you if you miss the mark. Or sin. You have to know how God feels about you when people come against you. You have to know how God feels about you in every circumstance of your life. So, God tells us, don't fear. Fear will be there, but don't give into it. The last one, the fear of death. A lot of people are afraid of death. The fear of death will cause you to, and look at this, look to supernatural ways apart from God. The fear of death will cause people to go to mediums, have seances, maybe tarot cards, trying to get security and not looking to God, where you get the ultimate security. The fear of death will cause you to become a recluse and avoid relationships. You just won't go anywhere. You won't go out. You won't put your life on the line by stepping outside. What if lightning hits me? What if I step outside? With nowadays, you know, this is probably more plausible. What if I step outside and I get shot by stray bullet? And that's not all that far-fetched. In fact, you all know that our son Jacob lives next door. He's got a bullet hole in his window from a stray bullet. The fear of death will cause you to have anxiety, great anxiety, when you think of dying. That's because they have no peace. They have no security. They don't know they're going to heaven. They don't know that death is a graduation. Death is a next step to glory. The fear of death will cause you to become depressed. No hope. Holy smokes. Anybody ever met a Christian with no hope? Oh, that's one of the saddest things, isn't it? You go, come on. Man, you've got it made forever in Christ. But let's look at what the Word of God says. Psalms 49:15. But God will rescue me from the power of death. Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. We're free from that law. Show of hands. Anybody here? You should be dead. The law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 1 Corinthians 15:53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death has no law over you. Jesus broke it by raising from the dead. He submitted himself to death to overcome it for us. That's good news. We have a future. We have a destiny. We have a hope. So believing in God's word will relieve all fear. And so the next group of scriptures are just scriptures about fear not what God will do And I'm going to have you just look at those, highlight them, memorize some of them. Look at the bottom of page 14, Psalms 27, 1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this I will be confident. There's a whole mess of scriptures that just give us encouragement. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true. It's active. It works. It's alive. We thank you, Lord, that you will perform the very things that you said you would. Lord, help us evermore to trust in you and with every aspect of our life, with our whole heart, soul, mind, and being, and body. We desire to serve you more and more. So take us, Lord. Take us. Take us to new heights, to new levels in you. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said,